I'm going to get into the word this morning. We'll take an offering at the end of our service here today. But as we were singing that next to the last song, a phrase came through my mind. How will our story end? How will our story end? It was Jesus who said on the cross, it's finished. Guess what? It's finished. So we claim what he has for us here today. I want to go to Philippians chapter 3 today. And I named the sermon Pressing On. And so I want to encourage you as we flip over into a new year. I meant to preach this last week, but we had a week of prayer. And I encourage you, make this a week of prayer. And the following week, a week of prayer. And the next week, a week of prayer. All right? Why should we have to encourage one another to pray? That should be something that naturally comes out of us, out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. So a new year begins, and it brings new things, right? At least that's what we say. We make a big deal out of it. We celebrate it. But how many know that in the mindset of when we talk about a new year, we have this mindset that it's a new start. We begin by maybe making some New Year's resolutions. How many made some New Year's resolutions? All none of you. All right. Hallelujah. So this sermon's for you here today. Amen. Because when we talk about a new year, we talk about maybe some change. We maybe talk about a year that was better than last year and the year before. Amen? Hallelujah. So if I just want to dissect these two words, new year, as we begin here this morning as kind of a foundation of where we want to go here today. So if we just dissect it, what do we have? So if we look at the word new, a lot of times when we look at the word new, and talking about a new year, we're really not talking, we're not really on a new page. We're not really turning a chapter. We're not really finishing up the last year. Maybe some better words for the word new is reinvented. Maybe refurbished. How about remodeled? How about renewed? Reestablished. Rewind. How many like to rewind? Refocus. Restart, reinstated, readjustment. That's kind of basically what we really mean when we're talking about a new year. How many of you ever bought a new vehicle, or a used vehicle, excuse me? How many have ever? Okay. Most of us in here have probably at one time, probably most of us could not afford a new car, but we have bought used cars. What we do tell everybody is when we do buy a used car, I got a new car, right? And the truth is, it's not new off the assembly line, right? It's just new to us. And so as we look into this coming year, we're looking at it as a new year. But the question is it really a new year? Is it something that we're just continuing from the old? Is it just something that we're just kind of rolling into and the numbers just change on top of the calendar and life really doesn't change? Is it the same as last year, but just the number changed, and we're just a little bit older by 1 year? So when we talk about new, for a lot of us, when we talk about a new year and we celebrate a new year, things really don't change from the old year to the new year. So let's talk about the word year. We know that year is a span of time. In fact, it is a limited period of time. In fact, it's 365 days unless it's a leap year. And so what we do is when we make these New Year resolutions or these things, these changes that we want to like, we kind of put it in a parenthesis. We put 2023 in parentheses saying this year, and we kind of lock it into that year. We put a parenthesis around, this is what I want to see happen. But today I want to explain and remind you today that God is infinite and he is beyond time. What did Peter write? He said, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. It's not 1,000 days. 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like 1 day. I want to tell you today, there's freedom in that here today. Many of us are bound by time. Many of us are already making maybe some resolutions of things we want to see happen and things we want to do in 2023. But I want to set you free here today because I want to let you know that God is an eternal God, that God is not bound by time. That maybe God, this is a year we start something. We may not see the finish of those things we desire, but it is a good time to start. Because we're going to be judged in that day. When we stand before Him, it's not going to, we measure things by accomplishments. But God measures things by processes. How many know that when Jesus comes back, there will be those that have been saved for decades? And there will be those that have been saved just for moments. You see, it's the process that God's interested in. He's not interested so much in our accomplishments. We're caught up on the accomplishments. But God is interested in us moving forward in Him. So this year is a good time to start. Maybe if you didn't complete what you wanted in 2022, this year is new, it's fresh, and we can continue on in Jesus Christ today. Solomon wrote that God has placed what in our heart? Eternity in our heart. We're looking at the next year. God's looking at eternity. So let's kind of just erase this calendar thing out of our mind here today and remind that God's an eternal God and that we will spend eternity somewhere either with Him or without Him. So why not just begin the process here today saying, I'm going to have a new year and I'm going to have a new start. I'm not rehashing the old. I'm starting new. And so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3 and what Paul has to say to us here this morning. 2023 can be just another number on top of our calendar as a continuation of 2022, we can truly experience a new year. So I don't know if you know where this celebration of the new year and new year resolutions came from. It came from the Babylonians 4,000 years ago. It began with them. And we know that Jesus Christ, was born about 2,000 years ago. So think about Paul's words as he's writing this, and think about Paul's ancestors being enslaved in Babylon. How many know Israel and Judah were taken to Babylon as captives? And so they would be very familiar with this idea of New Year's, having New Year's, and having New Year's resolutions. And so I want you to kind of take this scripture, kind of have that mindset here as we begin here today. Whether Paul had a New Year's resolution when he wrote this scripture or it happened some other time, that's not the point. The point is we can make some resolutions to the Lord that will change our eternity. So in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, we're going to look at Paul's resolve to follow Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, that includes all of us here. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I want to take a look at this scripture here today, and I want to look at the three processes that took place in Paul's life that we find in this scripture here today. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. We're going to talk a little bit more about other things as well. So Paul made a resolution. He was resolved in his spirit that he was going to pursue Christ. He said, I want to know Christ. Let me just say here today, it's not learning about Christ, but it's learning to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there will be a time when people stand before me and they'll say, I prophesied in my name, I healed in your name, I cast devils out in your name. But what will Jesus say? I never knew you. So it's not what we know about Jesus Christ, it's that we know Him. It's not the what, it's, you know how it says, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And so you better know Jesus Christ when you're facing eternity. So we look at this and we see Paul made a resolution. What is a resolution? It is a firm decision to do or not to do something. To decide firmly on a course of action. And so we look at this scripture and we see that Paul definitely did that. So what are some synonyms of the word resolution? It means to have an intentions. It means to make a decision, to aim, to have an aspiration, to have some goals. But one thing I want to tell you here today, and I kind of want to make it plain here, that a resolution is not a vow. It is not a vow. Let's look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 about vows. He says in verse 33 of chapter 5, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.'" How many know that's important, right? To be people of our word with one another, but especially with God. But Jesus goes on and says, "But I say to you, do not make any vows." That's kind of clear, isn't it? Don't make any vows. "Do not say by heaven, because it's heaven's throne, and do not say by the earth, because the earth is his footstool, and do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king." Meaning that if we swear by anything, we're swearing by God. And so he says here, don't swear. And we'll read it here. He says in verse 36, "Do not even say by my own head, for you can't turn one hair white or black." So ladies, all right? You may look beautiful, but it's not permanent. All right, verse 37. "Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one." Basically, it's a sin. Because we do not have the power. We do not control the circumstances around when we make a vow, right? How many have promised something and you weren't able to keep it? You should be embarrassed. A pastor of the church. And yeah. Now where am I? All right. So Jesus knew human nature and he knew its limitations. And so he's saying, please, do not make vows. So a resolution is a self-determination. It is something that we determine within ourselves that we want to do, something we want to accomplish in our life. It's not done by coercion. It's not done by guilt, right? It is something that we choose to do. And so what we have seen is that even in our culture, resolutions are kind of a joke, right? Because we joke about people making resolutions and we kind of say, "I wonder how long that's going to last. I'll give them 2 or 3 weeks. maybe a month. And it'll be gone. It'll be done." Right? It's become kind of a joke. But if it's taken seriously, resolutions can change your life. It is life-changing. Paul made a decision we saw in the scripture. He said, "I want to know Christ," in verse 10. "I want to know Christ." And so he was making a resolution here. And we can see the process in which he says. He says there in verse 12, "I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." And in verse 14, he said, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize." So Paul said, "I'm not only making a commitment to say I want to know him, but I'm going to do something about it." See, he was pressing on. And so to press on to something, first we've got to make a commitment. We've got to make a resolution to even want to accomplish that. So we see in Paul's life here, he made a resolve. I'm going to pursue Christ because I want to know him. So when we make a resolution like Paul did here, we understand that there's something that takes place. Paul understood that when he made this resolution, it ignited a revolution. How many know that we don't just need a New Year's resolution? We need a New Year revolution. He goes on and says, and let's define what a revolution is. It is a forcible overthrow of a government or governing force, as it were, or social order in favor of a new system. Synonyms are rebellion, revolt, insurrection, mutiny, uprising, riot. How many know we need to sometimes revolt against the flesh and some of the attitudes that we have, some of the actions that we're doing, some of the addictions in our life, some of the practices we're doing? And so when we make a resolution, guess what? A revolution takes place because something begins to change. Because we know in a revolution, something has to die and something has to take its place. Paul wrote in verse 10 and 11, if you look at it, it says, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So we see here that Paul understood that something had to die. He had to die so he might experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ in his life. So there is a price to pay for revolution. Some things have to die. Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will do what? He will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. That sounds like a revolution to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The old is dead, the new has come. Paul understood this newness of life. He said it there in verse 12. Now, and notice that this is a process. How many know a revolution is a process? Revolution is not a battle. It is a war. It is something that we're going to have to fight over and over and over and over again. I don't know many of you, Nazarenes, I know that the Church of God, they believe in sanctification, that you reach a point that you no longer sin. I can't go there because maybe I haven't been sanctified. I don't know. Maybe you have. All right? But we understand here today that a revolution is a war. It's not just one battle. So Paul writes and says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. So here's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, serving him for decades, coming and telling us, I haven't obtained it yet. Not what I want. I haven't arrived at the goal. He said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, there in verse 13. So we see it's a process that's going on in the life of Paul. It's not something that we come to Jesus Christ and say a prayer and we have arrived. Folks, let me just say this here today. Salvation is just a declaration of war. Do you understand that? When you accept Jesus Christ, you have now declared war on sin, the flesh, the devil, and the world. That's all you've done. A lot of people have stopped there. And a lot of people have lost the war there. It is just the declaration. Because there needs a revelation to take place in our life. And how many know we battle? And sometimes we battle daily. So it all begins with a resolution. A New Year's resolution. This is a new year. It's a good time to start. Which then will lead to a New Year's revolution. Meaning it's just not words now, but we're actually taking actions towards fulfilling that resolution. And then finally, we see a New Year's evolution. How many of you have evolved? Not from a monkey, right? But from a sinner to a saint. Amen? From being unsanctified to being sanctified. Being redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. All three of you. Amen. I like that. So, a revolution results in evolution. So let's define this word evolution here. It is the gradual Wouldn't it be nice just to just get a spiritual concept and just be changed at that moment in time and never have to deal with it again? That'd be wonderful. But it's not. It's the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. And that's what Christianity is about. It's about maturity. It's turning from the milk of the Word, being a babe in Christ, becoming more mature, and eating the meat of the Word. So there is this evolution process from milk to meat, from babe to maturity. There is this thing going on. So let's have some synonyms for the word evolution. It means development. It means advancement, progress. And here are some biblical concepts. Growth. How many of the Bible talks about growth? How many of the Bible talks about transformation? How many know the Bible talks about maturity? Paul shared his testimony in this story here, in this scripture that he wrote. It's his testimony is what he's sharing. This is the process in which I've come from, where I'm at now, and where I'm going. And so just let's look at it here this morning. Paul said in Philippians 3, we look at verse 10 again. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to. You'd have thought he'd arrived already. But he said, I want to know him better than I do today. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Notice these are our present actions here. These are the things that we are presently going through. We're attaining. He said, I want to know, meaning it's futuristic. And so we see it's a process. We are growing up in the Lord. We are becoming like him and hopefully attaining to the resurrection from the dead. One of the things that I like to do is that I like to archery hunt. And one of the things I try to do before I go into every season is try to do something new, try to discover why I haven't got much in the past, how I can become a better hunter. I want to be a better archery hunter. Just like Paul said, I want to know Christ, I want to become a better archery hunter. So I've tried a lot of different things. I've heard a lot of things. And, you know, it's just like a business when they're setting up location, 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 right? Is the number one thing. You got to be in the right place at so that the deer will be there at the right time. So location. I have cameras in the woods. I've heard people say rattling brings them in. I never had a deer come in rattling. I think it's Joe. I think it's kind of whatever. Joe was told me I should rattle. And all I heard in the woods was his bones rattling as he was going up and down the hill. I've never called in a buck. I've called in doe right to my tree stand, but I've had buck look at me and say, man, that's a sorry looking buck over there. I guess sounds terrible. And they went their own way. Scent, I love scent. Don't you just love scent? Was it you who was telling me that one guy said that he went so ballistic on this thing of scent that he put it in his mouth because he figured that the deer could smell his breath. It was like, now that's sick. That is sick. So I've been praying to become my prayer has been this. I've gotten 3 7-point bucks. And it was like, God, I'm tired of getting 7-point bucks. I'd kind of like to get something a little bigger, maybe an 8 or 10. And so that was my prayer going into this season. And so after the first day, I hear this testimony from somebody in this congregation, Matt, saying that I got a 9-point buck. And I was thinking, what a brat. He gets a buck every year, gets a doe every year. And it's like, what a brat, you know? So my prayer was, Lord, forget about the 8-point. I want a 10-point because I want to beat Matt. That was my prayer. And so, you want to put my deer up there? Is it on there or not? Okay, it's on the flash drive. Can you put the flash? Yeah, put it on up there. All right, because even in my prayer being answered, I would like to claim it being a 10-point. I did get a nice-sized deer this year, but one of the points was broken off. So I don't know if I really beat Matt or not, because it was really a 10-point. So let's take a vote here. Matt got a 9. I mean, you could at least give me a half. All right, 9.5. Will you give me a 10? All one of them. I don't know if he could find it or not, but it wasn't on the original. I went back and added it. So it's on the flash drive. So, but anyway, one of my objectives, I even bought a license plate on the front of my thing, Gone Hunting, and it says, something worth living for. And Karen's like, that's terrible. She said, we should be living for Jesus. And it was like, well, she doesn't archery hunt, so she doesn't know. So I do want to be a better hunter. But as we read this scripture, I also want to be a better Christian. But I also want to be a better pastor. See, Paul said, I want to know Christ, right? Still can't find it? All right. Well, I'm moving on, but we'll let them lust over it maybe at the end. Okay. All right. But Paul went on in verse 13, as I read earlier, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Straining reference is something, right? I mean, look at that buck. Isn't it beautiful? I didn't see a picture of Matt's. Matt's wasn't worth taking a picture of. So I can't compare. He posed here. He's actually at one of my drippers, and he's just posing and making himself look good. And then I shot him. Now, it wasn't on the same day, but he just posed. And so I thought you'd rather look at a live deer than a dead deer. So, all right. So, I'll take it. All right. Matt, you lost. All right. So evolution is a process of change. We are all evolving to the conformity of Christ. I hope that is your desire here as a believer today. But the thing is, it's not automatic, right? It's a result of a resolution that I am determined to know Jesus Christ. But it also becomes a revolution, meaning that I just can't say it, I gotta live it. And when we begin to live it, guess what? Our life begins to evolve. It begins to change. It does. And so 2023 is a new year. It can be just a joke, or it can be something that really will transform us as individuals, but also transform us as a church. See, a new year resolution can lead to a new year revolution, which can lead to a new year evolution. Maybe it's time we stop living in parentheses. Let's just not stick with 2003. Let it be 2023 is a great starting point. And whether we accomplish what we set out to do maybe is not the most important thing. It's just that we started and we keep moving with it. Because God has placed eternity in our heart. He's more interested in eternity than our success. Because we like to claim success. We like to proclaim our accomplishments. But as God looked at whatever his name's kids, Jesse's kids, what did he say? I don't look on the outside, right? He said, I look at the heart. So God knows where we are on the inside. He, we're so stuck on our accomplishments and what people think about us and maybe even put ourselves under pressure saying we need to do this, this, and this and be this. God's saying, no, Just love on me. Just love on me, and I'll take you where you're going. So I just want to challenge you. I challenged our men on Tuesday night, all two of them. 2023. Maybe it's time we took resolutions maybe a little serious and maybe make some personal New Year resolutions. Maybe some resolutions in the area of spiritual growth. What are you going to do this year that will better your walk with Christ than it was last year? Maybe financial stewardship. If you're like us, a lot of money is just going who knows where. As someone said, one of the prophets, it's like having a bag with holes in it, right? Maybe it's a good year to kind of take hold of our financial stewardship in our personal life and maybe even in our giving life. Career goals and our opportunities. How many set resolutions for their family, that some things that you would like to see in your family? Ministry. What are some of your ministry goals? What are some of the things that you would like to do or be part of? The last one is something we don't really think about sometimes because some people don't know how to recreate or relax. They think taking a vacation is working around the house. Sometimes we need to make some goals to say, hey, I'm going to do this to get away. I'm going to do something I enjoy, something that will bring life back to me, something that is fulfilling. And lastly, we're on a Acts 2 journey this year. And hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to have a vision for our church. We're going to know where we're going, some of the things we want to do. And again, what are some of the resolutions? What are some of the spiritual things that we want to see in our church? Let me just make a commercial. Tuesday night, we have our praise and our worship time. And we have a couple people who are going to share how they operate in the gifts. And so we're encouraging you, come out. And maybe we'll even give you an opportunity to ask a question or two about how they operate and how they know that it's a spiritual gift rather than their flesh. And so if you've ever been wanting to know how to move in the Spirit, here's an opportunity on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Have things going for the kids. We'll meet in here as the adults. So what are some of the things that we want to see spiritually in our church? How about if we learn about it, right? We talk about it. We say, you need this, but how about if we share how you use it? Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, He wants to use you. Financial stewardship of our church. God has been very good to our church. He has blessed our church. But I think it's time to know how we want to invest this money into the kingdom of God. Staff goals. We need some staff. We have some holes to fill. There are ministries that need a leader. And maybe this is the year that we can pray and God will call some people into these ministries. Fellowship. How many know? We need fellowship outside the church. We need fellowship with one another, not just once a week on a Sunday morning in this building, but we need to be involved in other people's lives, doing fun things and ministry together. And of course, ministry. We don't want to limit what God wants to do through our church. So what are some of these resolutions? What are some of these things that I just encourage you? We'll maybe put these on our Facebook page for you just kind of to look at and maybe take some personal stock. And just say, hey, you know, I want 2023 to be different, to be new compared to last year, not just the continuation. How many know if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results? And that goes not just for our church, but goes for you personally. If you keep doing the same thing, you just keep floating along, nothing's going to change. We need some resolutions in our life. Remember, it's not a vow, but it's something you're resolving in your heart, saying, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to see. So we don't have this thing hanging over our, this guilt thing and condemnation thing hanging over our heads. Let's get rid of that. There is therefore what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's get rid of the condemnation stuff and just say, hey, Lord, get together with him and say, Lord, these are some of the things that I want to do. These are some of the things that I'm going to try to begin to operate on a regular basis in. So Paul made a great resolution. I don't know if it was a New Year's resolution or it could have been a 4th of July. How many know they didn't have the 4th of July? Whatever resolution at any time. He said, I want to know Christ. That's a good resolution for all of us. He also said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Meaning, he took hold of me to fulfill a calling, a purpose that he made just for me. So that's a good one to say, Lord, help me find my purpose. Help me find my calling. Help me to do what you saved me to do. And lastly, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. How many want to win a prize? We all want to win a prize, right? All right. And the only way we're going to win a prize is through endurance. It may not happen in 2023. It may not happen to 2025. But today's a good day to start. And so I just want to, that's our altar call here today, for just to challenge you to step out. To step out. And again, I want to challenge you, it's not just doing things for Christ, not just learning about him, as Paul said, but I want to know him. After decades of ministry, he's still writing, I want to know him. I don't quite grasp him all the way. And I don't think when we get to heaven, we're going to understand everything about God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. He's not going to just download a bunch of information in your brain. I believe it's going to take eternity to figure out him. Because that's what makes him God. Once you figure him out, he's not God anymore. Right? Father, we just praise you today. I pray that you will just challenge this body of believers today, that you will be their resolution, that they will pursue you. I pray today, Lord, that we will begin to experience what we talked about here today, a resolution, a revolution, and an evolution. Some of us are down that path a ways, Lord, but yet, as Paul said, we haven't gained it all. We don't know it all. We haven't experienced it all. And so, Lord, we're pressing on. We're pressing on. We're pressing on. And I pray today that this people in this place will make a decision, not just today, but during this week, as Lord, maybe they'll go through some of these lists and begin to write some ideas down, some resolutions down on how things might change, that this might truly be a new year, and not just a tag on of last year. Father, you're in the new stuff. You said we are a new creation. We have been born again. We have a new life. And so, Lord, we're praying for that fulfillment of those scriptures to come to reality in our lives. That we truly begin to experience not just life, but the abundant life that you have promised. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.